Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Praise God. It's always good to see everybody, and it's good to see people saying, yeah, I want this to be my family church. So it's always awesome to have that. Let's see. Before I get into the message, I know some of you have been talking to me, saying, well, are you ever going to get to those three last points? And I said, yeah, but we're just making sure that the Lord, he's doing what he wants to do. Those last three points, they'll be okay. You know, they won't go bad, I promise you. But before I get into the message, I wanna ask. Last week was such a tremendous time with the Spirit of the Lord. It was really awesome. And we was talking about. We felt like the Lord was saying, you know, if we came and worshipped in public, with unashamed of Him and just worship Him in the presence of everybody, that He would begin to turn this dark night that some of us may be in. But what I want to do is, did anybody have a beginning of the breaking of the dark night in your life? Did anybody have one, two, three? Oh, so go ahead and stand up. I can't, these little hands coming up this way. You know, I want to see this, you know. So, great. Look at what God's already doing. So, those of you that have not had it yet, you just know that it's coming. Say, it's coming. It's coming. It really is. And because I really did feel like that was a word of the Lord that was for this place and for us. I want to continue to talk to you concerning the maximizing your influence. We started a couple of weeks ago with this, and we talked about Psalm 2 when the Lord God was talking about Jesus saying, I will give you the nations for your inheritance. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I will give the nations to you. Your inheritance. So Jesus' inheritance is the nations. And when we look at that, we understand that there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the nations. Amen. And the Lord's still moving in nations. The Lord's still doing things, still talking to leaders. And matter of fact, just heard a word. I won't indulge in any information, but name-wise, but I do want to say that the Lord's already moving in people's lives to give them influence in people that are way higher up than they are. And that's already happening. Amen. 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 Putting these people in a place that is influencing, and I'm talking about in the government as well. You know, so God is really moving. And if you want to be used of God, just say, yes, Lord. You know, so I'm here. It's like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You know, don't be pointing to the other person, send this and send that. No, here am I, send me. He'll use. See, we think we have to qualify. But He does the qualifying. We can't get qualified. He does the qualifying. Right? And if we feel like we've got to earn it, then we'll never get there if we have to earn it. So He does the qualifying. He's the one that says, okay, this is what I want you to do. Because our first response to most of that is, Lord, I can't do that. You know. Moses was that way. I can't do that. Sure you can. We can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. But what we have to do concerning influencing nations is we have to be able to manage our walk. Turn to your neighbor and say, manage our walk. Well, and this is how we manage our walk before people, before the Lord and before people. How we manage that determines the influence that we'll have. And it'll also determine the position, and it will position us to be released to go do that. How many of you have children? How many of you know that sometimes you just don't want your children saying anything because there's just no telling what's going to come out? Do y'all ever been there? You just don't really know what you come out. So you don't really want them representing you. I remember one time my nephew was with my mom, and my mom had a neighbor that was always sort of irritating her just a little bit. And I knew the Lord was really working on my mom, and just like he works on me, you know. But my mom's in heaven today, and she's just in glory, you know. But I do remember this. So little Kevin was spending the night, and my mom said out loud, said, "I really hope she don't come over here. They just pulled up. I really hope she don't come over here because she is real nosy." She did come over. She came over to help my mom get groceries out of a car. "Well, Grandma, here she is." And she's nosy too. Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, our walk does not position us to be released quite yet because the Lord can't trust us with what we're about to say. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we really, I mean, you know, it's just like that toothpaste. Once you squeeze it, it's out. No putting that back. So our walk begins to determine the amount of influence that we have, and it will position us to be released to be able to use that influence. So how do we do this about managing our walk? There's four things here. These are not the three things. This got added this week. So there's four things here about our walk, but it involves our identity. It involves how we see ourselves. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself the way the world sees you? Do you see yourself the way God sees you? How we see ourselves matters. You know, if we're still struggling to get rid of sin when he's already paid for the sin, we'll be struggling from now on. So, but what does God see concerning our sin? Blood of Jesus. Okay, all right. So we got to watch how we see ourselves. Number two, we got to watch what we say to ourselves. That's important, what we say to ourselves. Have you ever been negative about yourself once God is real positive about you and you get negative about yourself? So you're not in agreement with God when that happens. That's the reason Paul said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be let this world squeeze you into its mold. How many of you know the world has a mold? And it wants to squeeze every Christian that they can find. Not just every Christian, but everybody that they can find to squeeze it into their mold, because they're going to look like the world, going to act like the world, going to do like the world. But Paul said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, transformation is extremely important to the Christian. We can remain a baby for the next 20 years after being born again and still be a baby in the Lord without transformation. We've got to grow up. And we do. We have to grow up. We have to mature. We have to become more like Christ. Number three, We gotta make sure with what we feed ourselves. First is what we see, how we see ourselves. Second is what we say to ourselves. And the third one is what we feed ourselves. Does it matter? Absolutely. What we see, you know, and I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about the aspects of, and food too sometimes, but how we are, how much of our diet is on the Word? How much Word do we get in? How much Word do we take in? How much of the Word of God do we read? How much do we pray? You know, and I'm not saying, okay, there's a certain level that you've got to get to match. No, it's just that we have to do things. We have to do that. You know, if we sit and watch news all the time, then what's going to come out of you is whatever news you fed yourself on. Okay. All you ever do is watch movies, then the movies is what's influencing your life. Nothing wrong with news, nothing wrong with movies, but what do we feed ourselves on? What are we hungry for? Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father. So we have to be that same way. We have to be a people who feed ourselves on spiritual things, on what God is wanting us to eat, what God is wanting us to see about His will. I know that you want to do this, Terry, but I want you to do this. How many of you ever heard that? But you didn't hear Terry, you heard your name. I know you want to do this, but this is what I want you to do. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can do something don't mean that you should do something. What's God saying? What's God telling you? What's the Word telling you? What's the Spirit of the Lord whispering in your ear about? Number four, we need to meditate. We have to make sure what we meditate on. What are we really tossing around in our mind thinking about? What's captured our attention to the point that I'm thinking more about it? It didn't come and go. But I'm beginning to think about what I just heard or what I just saw, and I'm beginning to toss that around a little bit more. What we meditate on is going to impact our walk. All these are going to impact our walk. And it, once again, this impacting our walk is going to open up doors for us to be able to be the influence, because He's going to position us in the right place with the right people and begin to tell us what we need to say to the people. But see, the enemy wants us to, as believers, he wants us to interpret the day that we live in as hopeless, chaotic, and horrible, and there's nothing we can do about it. He wants us to sort of interpret the day as too far gone for us to be an influence. And that's not the truth. See, but once again, that's what's being said to us. So that's going to influence how we respond and what our influence will be or will not be. He wants us to make sure, the enemy wants us to make sure that we see darkness as a success. In other words, we see the success of darkness. Well, the Bible says it's going to get darker. That's God saying that. It's going to get darker. And darkness is going to be gross. It's going to be real, real bad. But before that, he says, I want you to take action to arise and shine, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Yeah, don't stay focused on this darkness. Acknowledge it, but stay focused on you arising and shining, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And in that passage, it also says that the nations will come to your rising. The nations will come. There'll be people of higher influences that will come to us saying, we don't know what's going on, but we don't know what's happening, but we'd like to ask you a few questions. Doesn't matter how dark it is, yet we acknowledge the darkness, but we have to first acknowledge we're not of the darkness. The Bible says you were formerly darkness. He didn't say you were formerly in darkness. He said you were formerly darkness, but now you are light. You know, so the darkness has always been here, you know, but, you know, and it is getting darker and it is getting more gross. I mean, when you look at it, it's getting a lot gross, you know. But the thing is, we can't focus on the darkness. We have to focus on the Spirit of the Lord being upon us and then us getting up and arising to the occasion. We have to arise to the occasion that God puts us in. That's very important that we understand that. So the enemy wants to overwhelm us so that we lose sight of our assignment and our calling. We can be a Christian and have no clue what we're called to do. We can be a Christian and have no assignment that we know of. That's what we think. Why is that? Because we haven't connected with God's purpose and we haven't connected with God's grace. See, God's grace is what empowers us to be able to do what He's asking us to do. And when I'm not connected to God's grace, all I see is I can't. But if I see the grace of God in my life, and we sing about the goodness of God, some of us don't even realize how good He is. I don't know that any of us know the fullness of the goodness of God, but I'm telling you, I do get overwhelmed. I told you the other Sunday that I just woke up and I was overwhelmed with God's goodness in my life. And I'm saying, why are you so good to me? The reason is, I'm His son. You're His daughter. You're His son. You're His daughter. And He loves you with unconditional. Have you ever started feeling yourself to be trained in conditional love? Oh, nobody? Well, let me tell you how the enemy wants to train me to walk in unconditional love. Since y'all don't know anything about that. Nobody raised your hand, so I'm going to move right on. So it's like, okay, y'all need to be taught how, you know, when you begin to see certain things, this is Him moving you to a place of conditional love. Somebody say something to you, somebody act in a different way that you don't like, and all of a sudden, you know, who grunted? Who was that? Who grunted? Okay. Mary, I knew it was you the whole time. I really did. No. You begin to see. Okay, you know, because you can't forgive them, or you have a hard time forgiving them. But you just like, I don't even want to be around them. What is that? That's conditional love. I'm going to love them when they treat me right. I'm going to love them when they make this thing they did wrong right. You may be waiting a long time. They may never make whatever they did wrong to you. They may never make that up. So you're going to be stuck in this training from the world to not have an unconditional. They want you to have a conditional love. Well, I will do that when they do this. Pharisees, Jesus said, the world does that. Unbelievers do that. We're believers. We have His way, His life, His truth. And we have His grace to operate, to be able to love people even when they mistreat us or when they take advantage of us or when they say something to us that hurt our feelings. How many of you have ever had your feelings hurt before and you just avoided those people? Now we're getting more truthful in this congregation. I know what you're saying. I don't want him to talk about lying next week. No, but see, we've all been in that. Why? Because the world moves in that order. The world wants to squeeze and keep moving you into the place where you won't even be able to love your family. So we have to understand that the enemy's at work, But God's already finished the work. God's work's already been, I mean, he said, okay, I've already taken care of him. All you got to do is follow me. Just follow me. But anyway, we get overwhelmed. We lose sight of our calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, you can write this down. Our calling is a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, our calling is a holy calling. In other words, it didn't come from earth. It came from heaven. And it was not according to our works. Okay, there's my qualifications. Well, I'm qualified for you to call me. He said, your calling was not according to you. What was not based on your works. Your calling came from the holy place, the holy God. That's where your calling came from. See, the enemy wants us to be absent from our calling. He wants us to have no sight, no foresight of our calling in God. And that's what he wants, because he don't want us to recognize that we have a holy calling. And it's not according to how much we know, and not according to our works. But listen to this, but according to his own purpose, his purpose and his grace. Your calling is according to his purpose and his grace. His purpose of what he wants you to do and his power to go be able to do it. That's God. That's him. I don't care how dark it gets. I do care, but God says it's going to get gross. I already know that. And the reason we know that is because God said it. So we have all that, but so we need to be focused on his presence, his glory, his calling, his grace for us to be able to do what he's wanting us to do at that moment in time. No, Hebrews 3:1 says we are partakers of a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling and it's a heavenly calling. Didn't come from earth, it came from heaven. And it's holy. It's set apart from everything else for you to have this calling. And he said, I have called you not according to your ability and not according to your education, not according to this. See, the disciples were known to be known to, and said, well, these are ignorant men. No real high education in these guys. I mean, they had some education, but they said, no, these are ignorant men, unstudied, ignorant men. But what happened? What else was said? Come on, y'all know. What else was said about them? But what did they figure out? They had been with Jesus. What was obvious in their walk? Their education? Or the lack of? No. What they took note of was they've been with Jesus. Why? Their walk and their talk is different. Even though they're uneducated to some degree about scholarly things. Now, should we study? Absolutely. We should study and being Bible studies and being in classes that were learning more about the gospel. See, but that didn't qualify you. That started your call. So you're saying, I want to know more. There's the hunger part. I want to know more. I want to know more. I want to know more. And then the third thing is Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. He says, walk in a manner worthy of your call. The calling is worthy. It's a worthy calling. What's it worthy of? It's in here. So what's this calling worthy of? You and I walking in it. It's worthy of our commitment to walk in it. It doesn't have to do anything else to measure up before we volunteer. Well, it really hadn't got to the place where I feel good about it. We don't operate by feelings. We can. Has the Lord ever told you something to do and you said, Lord, I don't really feel good about that? I'm going to say this. I'm going to talk about Gabby just a little bit. If Gabby had waited, Gabby Wilson, if she had waited till she felt good before she started her own business in this last 2 weeks, if she was waiting on her feelings, she would still be not having a business of her own. But she went past her feelings, heard her call, heard things that she knew that she needed to go do, and she was supported by her family. Go do it, go do it, go do it. You're smart, you can do this. And if God's telling you to do this, go do it. But see, sometimes we'll wait on our feelings, thinking our feelings is what's going to validate what we're supposed to go do. But once again, I'll tell you, that's the reason he gave you and I a comforter. To comfort what? Those feelings. Because if you're going to follow him, sometimes it ain't going to be good to your feelings. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? If we always wait on our feelings, we'll probably be sitting here till Jesus comes. See, we can't do that. We've got to move past what we're feeling, this feeling of uncertainty, this feeling of being unsure, this feeling of, hear what God's saying and go do it. He'll enable you to do it. He'll give you grace to go do it. Walk in a worthy manner. This is a worthy call, and it's worthy of your walk. Jesus told us that we were salt and that we were light. There's two lights here in this passage in Matthew chapter 5. You're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. He said the light of the world is one, a city set on a hill. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's one of the lights that he said. Okay, can you guys turn the lights out? All of them. We got these. That one too, but there you go. Now, men love darkness rather than light. That's in the scriptures too, but we don't love the darkness. Let's see what happens. He said, you're a city set on the hill. See, that's a broad light. That's a light that you can see afar off. If somebody's going approaching a city, what do you see first? If it's not, you see lights. You see lights. Let's see, you have this and said, okay, now a city set on the hill is one with lights. And then he said, the number two, the second light is a lamp. And it's set on a stand. What's the difference? The broadness of the light is a city. It's like a church. A church ought to have not physical lights. The church ought to have so many people that are so lit up with God. And by the way, you don't reflect the light. You shine the light. You shine the light. That's what he said. You don't reflect the light. You shine the light. Why? We are the light. He's inside us. He's inside. But see, this lamp is, how many of you have ever been at home and all the lights were on in the house and you're just looking for something? Now, y'all know what I'm saying? What are you searching for? Whatever you're hunting, but what else are you searching for? And where's this light going to go? This light's going to go wherever I take it because it's on a lampstand. And it's got to come over here and look underneath. It got to look underneath the sofa. That light's not there. It's got to look in the closet. No, it's not there. And you begin to see, what are you looking for? The thing that you lost. The thing that you do not know where it is. See, this is the individual light that has an intensity. Now, see, is that bright? Sure it is. I'm sorry, huh? Are you okay? How many fingers do I have up? Okay. Well, now look at it. How many fingers do I have up? So this is the intensity. This has a specific purpose to get closer to something than the lights of the city. Both of them are influences. But when we begin to pull this out, this is an influence that God has given you and you and you and given all of us, the influence to be able to shine it on a particular spot, on a particular person, on a particular matter. Oh, you have a splinter. Let me see. Now, you want me to operate this way or this way?
That way.
Okay. This way.
Yeah. I'll take the lot.
You'll take the lot. Why? Because he's given us influence, personal influence, to be able to meet certain needs that the broadness of the lot can't make. All right, so let's have lots back up. This is a lot, a city on a hill. So, you know, all of a sudden, hey, y'all didn't leave. So you begin now. See, now we're a city set on a hill, you know. But see, spiritually, how that's made up is everybody's got one of these. Yep. You got one. I didn't bring but one, y'all. You got one. You got one. No, I know he needs his glasses. He can't see the light. Oh, the light's too bright. Well, so she got light, and then all you know, yeah. So you begin to see. That. The city set on a hill is made up of bunches of these. And see, Jesus had influence on huge crowds, 5,000 and plus. But then he had influence on the 12. He got a little bit closer with them, a little bit more intimate with this talk. And then he had the 3. That he took. So you begin to see that his influence is broad and his influence is narrow to that place of focus. Now, the Bible says that this needs to be on a lampstand. How many of you ever put a candle on a lampstand and it didn't fit? What'd you have to do? Had to whittle down a little bit and then get that in the lampstand. So here's the thing about it. The lampstand will be the very situation that God puts you in. Do you hear what I'm saying? The very situation he puts you in. What's he saying do? Get inside what I put you in. And let your light shine. Let your light shine. Our light is Him. That He will set up situations that all of a sudden He's got this thing, and you're going to have an opportunity to speak. And here's this lampstand waiting on you to jump into it. And sometimes we'll say, no, I might not say that. Well, don't say it if he's not telling you to say it. But if he's telling you to say it, fit that lampstand. Get in the opportunity that he has made for you to shine his glory, to shine his light. Don't be afraid of it. Jump into it. That's the reason we can't be afraid. So we'll go to the store. We'll go to the grocery store. We'll go to the Target. We've got a new Target down in Bowling Springs, and third largest in the United States. And they put it where I live. And I'm hearing God, I've got a lampstand over there that you need to go jump into. I said, well, that's not my target. You know, well, it better be. See, here's the thing about it. The Lord creates situations for you and I to be able to speak and shine and show his glory just by living, just by being kind, just by being loving. Hey, do you need help? Do you need assistance? Can I help you? This lampstand is a smaller thing, but it has a specific purpose. It's It's brighter because you get closer to it. And the more focused the light is, the more powerful it is. You start focusing one of those lights, and all of a sudden you get... How many of you have ever used a magnifying glass? How many of you have used a magnifying glass in the sun when you were little? Setting paper on fire, there's no matches. Putting it on you, letting it roll over from the paper on your skin. Ow! You know, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if it's skin or flesh, it's still burning. It's intense. But see, when we're focused on what we're supposed to do, it'll be intense. And we want everybody to like the light that we're shining. But Jesus also told us, he said, listen, they're going to reject me. They rejected me. They're going to what? They're going to reject you. Sometimes people are going to reject us. They don't want to hear anything we got to say, even though we're giving them the gospel. I don't want to hear that. I've done that. Well, you just let your light shine anyway. Or, the Bible, like I said in this one, or you can say, well, there comes Jeff. There comes Jeff. Oh, is that Jeff Wells? Yeah. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Doing pretty good, you. How's things going? Oh, absolutely fantastic. I'm too blessed to be stressed. What's that other one? I'm too what? Y'all don't know? Okay. Anyway, all of a sudden, let's see, put it under there. Why? There's either something I'm afraid of or something I don't want to get into. He's going to ask me what God's telling me. You know, so we have these opportunities. What's that other one, Eric? Too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Now, that's fine to say that if that's the truth. But I know way too many that they ain't even close to that, but they like saying it. Okay. All right. Have you got to them three things, Pastor? No, not yet. Anyway, you begin to see that, and I do want to share those three things. Number one, three points that will maximize your influence. And this will validate what I just got through saying, too. First is personal character. Your personal character is very important to have a positive influence. Things that will hinder your godly influence is Proverbs 13:20. He said, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and you'll get in trouble. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. First Corinthians 5:6-7 says, do you not know that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? Matthew 16:11 says this, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod. What's he saying? You know, there's the argument about, said, well, this, he's talking about bread. We didn't need to bring any bread. Then he has to straighten those out. Those guys out and said, no, I wasn't talking about bread. I was talking about the influence and the teaching. Their teaching. He said, be careful about what their influence, the Pharisees. Why be careful of the Pharisees? They were a religious group. Yeah. That's right. They were a religious group. They wasn't a relational group. They had religion, but they didn't know Jesus, even when he showed up. And when he said he is the Messiah, they didn't even want him. So we've got to be aware of those that said, okay, I'm this and I'm that, when they're not. He said, don't let them influence you. And don't be a person that has hypocrisy and say, okay, I'm this, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And you're standing there stressed is to hold limit. And so it's like, you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? It isn't real. We need the reality of it. We need the reality of our walk of where we are and who and where we're going and what we're going to say and how we're going to say it. But see, Pharisees were pretenders. They were hypocrites. He said, watch out for the Sadducees. See, they were sad, you see. See, these are the people that I heard Brother Ed mention in something in here about the Sunday school. Said the people that there's a sector of people that don't believe in, they just believe in science, don't believe in miracles, don't believe in supernatural, don't believe. This is actually the Sadducees. They denied the resurrection. They denied divine authority. Nope, man has his own authority. He does whatever he wants to. They didn't believe in the supernatural healings, and they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in any supernatural stuff. There's people on this earth today. There's people in church today that does not believe in the supernatural things of God. He said, don't let those people influence you. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't let those people influence you. And then Herod is a political spirit. It lies, it deceives, and it desires the control of the masses. I'm telling you what, if there is not a strong political spirit in the earth today, I don't know what is. Well, it'll split families, it'll split churches, it'll split anything that it can split. And Jesus said, beware of the spirit or the leaven or the teaching of the political spirit. He said, you better be cautious of that. We need to be here. We need to be here. So we got character. Is character important? 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you speak in the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, if I do that, I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. What's he said? And then he goes on and says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have all faith that can move mountains and I do not have love, I am nothing. He said, if I give all my possessions to the poor, to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. To this thing about noisy gong and a clanging cymbal, it says, okay, what is this? What's that mean? He says, you're an irritating sound. And people will avoid your irritation. Doing all this without having a love for people. Listen to these characteristics. Kind, patient, not jealous, nor boastful, nor pride, nor rude, demanding its own way, being irritable. Boy, well, I tell you what, I know husbands and wives needs to go back and read that one word, don't be irritable. You know, is it don't be irritable. Don't keep records of being wronged. Don't keep records of being wronged. Do not rejoice about injustice. When something unjust happens, don't rejoice about it, but rejoice whenever the truth comes out. Never give up. Never lose faith. Always be hopeful and endure in every circumstance that you go through. See, all that is the attributes of love. See, that's character that we need. Second, authenticity. We have to be authentic. The moment you start being a phony is the moment you start losing influence. Do you hear me? The moment you start being a phony is the moment that you start losing influence. So we need to be authentic people. You know, Romans 12:9 says, love, we need to love, let it happen without hypocrisy. Let your love be your love. Let it be unconditional love. Don't be a hypocrite. And, you understand? Don't be a phony about it. Authenticity will take your level up of influence when they know you're authentic. Somebody asked me, said, you know, do you mind weird stuff that comes out? That, you know, and I said, listen, I don't mind weird as long as it's authentic. I read this Bible and I tell you a bunch of weird things, but it's authentic. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's authentic. Don't try to be a copycat. Be who you are. Be who God made you. Be the church that God made us to be. Are you ready for number three? Or you want to come back next week? No, let's. I won't take long, I promise. But be authentic. Number three, consistency. Be consistent. Be consistent. You'll be able to handle crisis when they come because you're consistent. Your walk is consistent. Consistency, what does that mean? It means when things are going well, I have joy. When things are not going well, I have joy. When things don't go my way, I have joy. That's consistent. I'm going to love the person even though they're mean to me. I'm going to love the person even though they said something or did something. Even though they took advantage, I'm going to love the person. See, it doesn't mean you have to trust them. Trust is different. Trust is earned. We'll love everybody. Didn't he say that? Enemies? Do you understand that he's wanting us to walk with him in such a way that defies all of the world's ideas? But here you have these things. And for our influence to grow, which he wants our influence to grow, but we have to grow. Our character has to grow. We got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, agreeing with him, and not let the world squeeze us into what it wants to say and it wants to make us do. Godly character will help us maximize the influence that we have, being authentic and not a phony, being authentic. And then being consistent. Good times, bad times. What should we do? Walk with God. Understand that we're walking. He's inside us and we're inside him. And we're just going to walk with God no matter what we go through. Well, look at old Job over there. Look at what he's going through. Look at old so-and-so over here. Look at what all they're going through. They must have sinned. They must have done this. They must have done that. See, that's not a good friend. Yeah, can I help you? Is there anything I do? Can I help you? I remember, and we're closing, I remember Joseph had a dream and the brothers didn't like it and they threw him in a pit. Right? And then he was sold into slavery. And then when he went to Egypt, threw him in prison. So you see all this stuff happening to Joseph. But you know, even through that, what was Joseph doing? He's conscious that God's working in his life. He don't know what's going on. He don't know how far. He don't know what's going on. But you know, see, the thing is, all him going through that and being consistent with God rose his influence up to be second in command under Pharaoh. Well, he had character. He was authentic. And he was consistent. And it brought him to the number two spot under Pharaoh. Okay. There's a candlestick out there waiting for you guys, and you got to get into it. Let your influence, let your light so shine. When it says light, it said, let your light so shine. Let shine. It's in the Greek, that let shine. You know what that means? It's to, that so shine means to be obviously brilliant. The brilliancy of light, not about our minds, the brilliancy of who he is shining forth. It's the brilliance of who he is shining forth. That's where he gets glory. Let's stand to our feet. Is there anyone here that needs to receive Jesus in your life? You do not have him in your life, but you want him in your life, and you're ready to say yes to him and no to sin. Is there anybody here that needs that today? Anybody? Okay. All right. Is there anybody here that wants your light to shine? Raise your hand. All right. You are the light of the world. He's going to have a light that say, this church, I want this church to be everything that God has called this body to believe and to do. And we can step into that. Just, we're a city on a hill as long as all of our lights are shining. And then he has a candlestick for every one of us to get into for that moment to be able to let our light shine brilliantly. That they cannot deny it. That's the influence of God coming to them. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Me and you both. Father, I thank you so much for this congregation. I thank you for the time. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the liberty that you've given us and the freedom that you've given us and given this nation. Lord, we ask you to help us to change our minds about things that matches what you have to say about it. I pray that you'll correct us where we need correcting and give us boldness when we need boldness. That we may be everything that you said we are, that we may do everything that you said we're supposed to do, that we may give you glory in everything of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Doug. Oh, you need to talk to me.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.